Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, September 15th. A rainy day today, Jen.
Yep, finally.
What do you think about them apples?
I think that it's a good day to stay in bed and work from there.
It is, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, the mood is just amazing, you know, and it just creates a nice romantic mood as far as I'm concerned. So staying at home does sound pretty good, preferably with someone at your side.
I don't feel so well, so I'm okay not doing that.
Yeah, I heard the sniffling and coughing this morning. Are you sick?
I've been fighting something for like a week. So, yeah, I guess I am sick. I like refuse to admit that I am, but I probably am.
Yeah, and that's probably from being on the plane. You know, I'm not surprised.
Right.
Yeah, every time, I know with me, most of the times I get on a plane and then I get sick, you know, because there's so much going on in the plane, you know, with all these people.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't usually get sick ever, and I think that I got sick this particular time because there was so much traveling at also early times and very little sleep involved, so my immune system was down.
Yeah, that
but otherwise,
sense.
I'm okay. Like, you pop an emergency or you take an airborne and you fly and you should be okay.
Yeah. An emergency, you mean like those pills, right?
Right.
Yeah. I thought you meant going to the emergency room. I'm like, no.
Yeah, no.
It's not that bad.
Right.
Is it warm or is it just me?
You ask this every morning.
I know I do.
Today it happens to be warm, but I feel like we should figure that out before we go on air.
I know. But I didn't. I guess I wasn't aware of the temperature beforehand.
I'm okay.
Yeah, good. Yeah, because the air conditioner has been acting up here. I don't know what's going on. It's like, you know, I don't remember a building ever that I've been to that there weren't like elevator problems and air conditioning problems.
Yeah.
It seems like in every building they have that, so I don't know what's going on. So we took yesterday off. It was Rosh Hashanah, right?
Right.
And so you went to temple?
I did.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Do you ever go during the year or just during the high holidays?
Just the high holidays.
Yeah. Yes, many people do that, and because they're the high holidays, like they call them, they're considered pretty important in Judaism, I guess. But I can't remember the last time I've been to temple. You know, I just don't have any desire to go and be there with people I don't know, since I don't go there. You know, so just to go to temple, a place you've never been to before, with people you don't know, doesn't make sense for me.
Right. Well, I go with my cousins, so we have our group.
Yeah.
So it's nice to share that experience together.
That's true. So it doesn't bother you to only go like a couple times a year?
No, I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to go more than that.
Right. People don't look at you funny or anything, right?
I don't also care what people think.
That's
ever.
True, yeah.
So there's plenty of people that also do the same thing. So
yeah, that's true.
I'm not going to a religious temple. I'm going to like a reformed or conservative temple.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because in Israel you don't have reform or conservative. You only have Orthodox everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
That's how the country is run.
So when you moved here all those years ago, you never found another temple or did anything with it?
Oh, no, I have. I have for many years.
Oh.
It's just that, you know, the past few years and stuff, I just decided it's not really an integral part of my life, religion. And all the rituals and stuff just don't mean much to me. So I stopped fasting on Yom Kippur. And, and not really going to temple or anything. I never really liked it. It bores me. But, I know the value of it when I grew up and there were people that you knew and people from the neighborhood and everything. It was a whole different ballgame.
Right.
But to me, it doesn't make sense when I'm not into it all year to suddenly go.
So do you yourself have a higher power or do you just not?
I do. No, I do believe in God. I do believe in God. I just don't follow those rituals and stuff.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah.
Gotcha.
But no, I mean, I'm very Jewish at heart and everything. I just don't think you have to be religious.
So are you more culturally Jewish?
Yeah, it's more about heritage, I think, and everything. And, you know, I mean, look, I subscribe to the religion and everything. That's my religion. That's what I was born into. And I'm very proud of it. But it's just that, like I said, the rituals, you know, all these customs and everything, they're nice, I think, to keep a family together and everything. But other than that, I don't see the purpose for me in doing them.
Yeah. You
know? So I just think it's just to do it like once a year or something, or to fast because everybody else fasts, or often people fast because they feel guilty or something, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to be like that too. But you know, no. Then I married someone who's not into fasting and all that, so that pretty much rubbed off on me. And I decided, yeah, I'm not going to do it. And but, you know, I mean, I observe the holidays when we have dinners, family dinners and everything, and get-togethers. Those are nice, you know, and that's what I'm saying. These things don't have to be, you don't have to be religious to celebrate all these great things, you know.
Right.
And like holidays and special events and things like that. So, you know, that's just me. So, did you have a nice weekend overall?
I did. I had a great weekend.
Yeah. Did you guys have a nice dinner Sunday night?
No, we did Monday.
Oh, Monday. Night. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I guess, I guess when you're not in Israel, you do twice or something? Is that how it's
I guess there's
to
2 days. I mean, I don't guess. There are two nights. And so we do only one night.
Right. Yeah. You see, and we do too, because I think the reason they did that is because since Jews lived in so many time zones and stuff, and they figured that they want everybody to do it at the same time or so forth. So they figured if we do two, then you're bound to land on the right day or something, you know, of when it's supposed to happen. Otherwise, I can't understand why they do it twice. With Passover, the same thing, right? Here.
Yeah.
Many people celebrate it. Yeah, like a week later or something.
Oh, I don't know about that. We do the first night and that's it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But some people will do it like the next week again, the following week.
Oh, that's weird. I don't know about
that. I know,
All I knew was that you do, that there's two nights of Passover. Is there?
Right. Yeah. See, but again, that's just in the, what am I trying to say? Okay, the word will come to me, but I'm saying it's places that are not in Israel. So in other words, it's like Israel has the right time.
So in the Western world, that's what
no, that's not what I meant. I meant not in the Western world. It's everywhere, but the world where Jews are not in Israel, where they're diaspora.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
The Jews in the diaspora. So, yeah, that's it, because I can tell you for sure, being from Israel, you don't celebrate these things twice. You only do once. But regardless, you know, I just think it's such a beautiful thing that such a small group of people have managed to keep the traditions and customs over the centuries.
Yes, you know? I think that's... Sorry, partially why my family and I do it is to keep the traditions going.
Right, exactly.
We also love traditions as a family, so.
Yeah, I know. That's why my family looks at me kind of funny, you know, because they're more into it and stuff. But, yeah, it's just in my later years, God is a more personal thing for me, you know. So, but I strongly believe in God and that there's a more intelligent force out there for sure. It's just that with so many gods out there for, you know, for different people and different traditions and customs and religions, it's sort of like everybody sort of like twists it to fit their culture. And none of these cultures really fit me.
Well, that's why you have your own personal relationship with
them. Right, right. And it seems like people from Israel are not that concerned about it, like, because they don't really question their Jewishness or anything. So you just kind of like, because most Israelis are secular. I mean, they keep tradition, they do fast and everything, but they're definitely not going to temple every Friday or Saturday and stuff like that. Most people do not.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, I cut you off. You were going to say something.
Right before. Oh, I was just going to ask you what else you did this weekend.
Oh, well, family mostly. You should know that. But, but at least I have the family, you know, which right. is fun and stuff. And I already planned my trip. I told you so. Next week we're going to be off the air. Finally, I managed to get out of town.
So where are you headed?
Yeah. So sort of to get out of here. I'm going to a place called Paradise, California. And that place is a very small town. It's northeast of Sacramento. So I have to fly to Sacramento and then drive for 2 hours to get there. It's right outside a little town called Chico, where there's a... it's like a college town and stuff. Mm-hmm. But where they live, it's very good friends of mine. They're twins. And they live sort of like in the forest, almost, you know, like on the outskirts of town. So they've got chickens and dogs and all that stuff. And it's pretty cool. And there's a stream and
so what are some of the things
birds.
You'll be doing there?
We'll probably be, I'm going to make them hike a little bit. They sort of like used to that environment, so they don't appreciate as much as I do. But that would be cool. Plus, change environment. You know, I mean, they like I said, they have a very cool place. We can talk, have fun, talk business, talk pleasure, whatever. You know, just spend some time with people, see something different. And
is Paradise City known for anything in particular?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, our phone guest is calling in. I forgot to introduce her, so let's go ahead and do this now. We're expecting Maureen Enner. Maureen, are you with us?
I am.
Yeah, good morning, Maureen.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Bob should be calling in any second.
Oh, Bob is going to call in too. Okay.
That'd
be great. No, that's fine. Let me just introduce you. Maureen Enner and Bob Lang have a show here on LA Talk Radio Fridays at 4, and it's called California Connection. Tell us a little bit about the show, Maureen.
Well, the show was created by Bob Lang and myself. Bob Lang and me have worked in the financial industry for, I've worked in the industry almost 30 years. Bob's a little bit younger than me, but he's got a good 20 years under his belt. We both worked at very high level positions, and Bob is actually on CNBC. He co-hosts with Jim Cramer on Mad Money, and he is on there about 6 times a month. And tonight, Bob's reports will be on Mad Money. So he has the chops. I just kind of turn the numbers. I'm kind of the Vanna White of the show. I kind of do the fun things of the show. But he's the real brains behind the finance, and I kind of tag along with him.
Right.
And also, it's a conservative-based show,
right.
And we do all things California.
Right. So it is political in many ways as well, because you guys have strong opinions and everything, which is cool. I like reading your posts on Facebook. We seem to be on the same side. So,
right. It's a conservative. It's definitely a conservative-based show. Being natives of the state of California, we are definitely concerned about what is happening to our state. We're not happy about what has happened to our state.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, let's bring Bob on the line. He's calling in now. Bob, are you with us?
That's me.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
We have Bob Lang on. This is Jen that just said hi to you. And Maureen is already on the line with us.
Okay.
I beat you, Bob, as usually. I'm always faster.
you ladies are always faster than the men. Let's not argue about that. Come on. We all know that's true.
Yeah. So true. So
Sam, part of what's really been fun about our show is Bob and I have developed a banter, and it's quite fun, and we're very natural, and we just say what we feel, and if he bugs me on the air, I tell him he bugs me on the air, and we've gotten a lot of positive response from that. People like it.
it's not just a Northern California, Southern California rivalry, although, you know, I have to admit that, you know, Maureen's teams, they have the hardware, you know, it's certainly in baseball.
We won last night, Niners.
And basketball, too, and the 49ers, so... We have a lot of work to do down here in Southern California, but
yeah,
definitely. We have a lot of time too.
Yeah, we definitely need to bring in a football team or two down here. You know, I think it's shameful that we don't.
Well, the LA Chargers and the LA Chargers and the LA Rams looked LA Chargers and the LA Rams looked really good over the weekend, didn't they, Sam?
Really?
Those are two teams that are looking to probably move to Los Angeles. So
I know. I know. The Rams used to be here at one time, and then they left us.
I was a huge Rams fan, and that was one of my teams. It was a heartbreaker when they left in 1995. It's hard to believe it's been 20 years since we've had football here in
Southern California. I know. It kind of seems longer.
Well, yeah, the Raiders.
Yeah,
no, I would gladly give you the Raiders. I hate the Raiders. So I would gladly give you the Raiders back. You can have that gang team back anytime you like. It would fit perfectly in L.A.
Let me tell you,
we'll leave them up there.
Yeah, when they were down here, they were an excellent team. I don't know the thing is I know that when I watched football at the time, that was in the 80s, they made it exciting, you know, and we had a good team. At least they were winning. So that was a nice thing, but then they disappeared. But so much for football, guys. Bob Maureen was describing a little bit. You live in Southern California, right?
Yes, I live in Simi Valley, Ventura County. Uh-huh.
Cool. About
45 minutes north of LA.
Great. So now, about your show. So you guys talk about finance and politics. Tell us a little bit more about the show, Bob.
We talk about everything, Sam, anything that under the sun. I think the great thing is that, you know, Maureen and myself, we're up to date on lots of current events. We've talked about, you know, sports. We've talked about finance and politics and leisure and lifestyle and trends and things of that nature and stuff that's really important to Californians. I mean, we've talked about the need for better conservation with water and energy. We talked about, you know, local politics, some of the issues that have been really important in not just in California but also nationwide, like the attacks that have been coming against police officers and so forth, law enforcement, and of course Maureen's husband is in law enforcement too. And right. So these are any issue that's really big that we're on top of, and we've been, you know, politics is obviously number one right now because we have this big election coming up in about 14 months.
Right.
We're able to bring in really top guests.
Right.
To talk about one of these comments or one of these topics, so we've been just so fortunate, right, Bob?
Right. You have.
We had Jim Gilmore on, who is a presidential candidate. His hat is still in the ring, although I don't think very many people know who he is or know that he's still out there, but he's still a candidate, and he came on and graciously spent a good hour with us on the radio. We've had some people from Fox talking to us, and so it's been real good. You know, so it's a new show, but it's been terrific. We've had some great guests.
Wonderful. I wanted to ask you, when did you guys first meet? How did you collaborated before the show too?
Maureen, go ahead.
I knew Bob about 8 years ago. I was selling research I was working for a broker dealer up here in Northern California, and I was on a large radio network here, KMBR in San Francisco, home of the Giants. Mm-hmm. And I was co-hosting a financial show there, and I left that job and then started my own radio show on Blog Talk. And Bob and I had always been friends on a financial site on Facebook. That's how we met, because obviously we're both high level professionals in that industry, and just Facebook. And I actually had Bob on my show, and we did so well together, and we just decided last year, let's do a show, kind of like Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney, and let's do a show. And we created California Connection in January, and we went live in April, and Michael Reagan was our first guest, and our first show was a tremendous hit.
Yes, you started with Michael Reagan, I mean, which is a pretty big deal, and that was very impressive. So talking about Reagan and the Reagan Library, I know you've been there, Maureen. I'm sure Bob has, since he lives in Simi, but I know, Maureen, you publicized it and everything. Great pictures from there. And tomorrow they're going to hold the Republican debate there, and you guys are going to cover it?
We are covering it, and we are representing LA Talk Radio.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
Beyond thrills, right, Bob? I mean, this is like our
absolutely.
Yeah, like, it's going to be my first trip to Disneyland or Christmas morning. We're so excited.
Yeah, wow. So what is
it's going to be a fantastic draw. I'm telling you, they had, 24 million viewers for Fox, and for the first one, I suspect there'll be even more viewers, bigger ratings, and more interest here because, you know, every single debate is now becoming a little bit closer to the election, and everybody's trying to decide, and they hear a lot of controversy going up with a lot of different candidates, and they want to see what they're having to say right now too. So I think it's going to be a big one tomorrow.
Great.
Well, and I don't know if you guys know, but Donald Trump spoke last night, and he had 20,000 people in an arena, so that's just going to be a little bit of a guesstimate of how many people are going to be tuning in live to CNN tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon. And
That was in Dallas too, wasn't it?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a very interesting election, you know, and I think there's definitely a lot to talk about. Bob, are you on the conservative side too?
You know, I'll tell you what, Sam, if you had to count me conservative, I'd say probably about 70% of my body is conservative. You know, I pretty much only want somebody who can get in there and fix things. Right. I could care less if they were blue, red, green,
right,
purple, yellow. It doesn't matter what they're representing. Do they have some solutions? Do they have some ideas? Listen, if somebody came across on the Democratic side and they had some ideas and solutions that I connected with, that I thought that they could fix things in our country, because I think things are really broken here, I'd vote for them. I'd have no problem doing that. It doesn't matter. I really don't care. I think at this point I'm pretty much representative of what the rest of the United States is all about. I'm disgusted by a lot of the non-movement in Washington and the, like Carly Fiorina talks about, it's the political class that feels like they're entitled to do whatever they want and say whatever they want to say and so forth. And I think we need to get rid of that political class. And I think this is really, really need to go back to a grassroots effort and get people who represent the people of the United States and do something. Get something done, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, and usually a Wall Street professional, we're all fiscally conservative. Is that safe to say, Bob? I in my opinion, it is, and in my experience.
Well,
so people in finance, we're very fiscally conservative.
Right, yeah, because
by and large, I would agree with that because, a lot of people on Wall Street are quite wealthy, and I'm sure a lot of people choked or got a lump in their throat when they heard Donald Trump talking about wanting to tax hedge fund managers. Maureen, did you hear that the other day?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But they could afford it. But I mean, we could go on and on and on. But what has excited us the most is Trump. He has tapped into that silent majority, and he's talking to people like Bob and myself and everyone else.
Right.
And everyone else is feeling the same way. They're disgusted with the regular way, the career politicians. And he really did a good job last night in his speech talking about that. And right. So that is another reason we're so excited to cover live the GOP debates, because Donald Trump will be there. And can you imagine it's just going to be far more exciting than the Fox debates, because that has set off a second debate, and everybody is just dying to know what he's going to say and what's going to happen, because nobody ever knows, because he can say what he wants. He's not Bob Lightning. So that's part of the reason why we're so excited to be live in person
right there.
And believe me, it was not easy, Sam. We had to be vetted, and we have our own press passes, and we had to go through CNN's process, and we were not alerted until last Wednesday that they approved us. So it was a very big process and a big deal.
Yeah.
And we are so proud of our work and who we have interviewed. Gretchen Carlson, Dana Perino, Kirsten Powers, some of the high-level Fox ladies, right. Michael Reagan, as I mentioned previously. We have a really good resume, and believe me, they vet all of that.
Yeah.
And so LA Radio, LA Talk Radio, I hope is very proud that we will be
absolutely
sitting in Radio Row,
right.
Radio Row with your banner on our table.
Awesome.
And we will be running our little behinds off around the the library, talking to whoever we can.
Yeah, sounds good. Now, I wanted to ask you guys are into politics in California and stuff. I'm wondering, I mean, our state leans Democratic very strongly, right? It still is.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. So for a conservative, for a conservative to cast their vote, does it even matter? Does it make a difference? It doesn't, right?
In California, no. California and New York, which what's interesting is that because Maureen talked about, you know, hedge funds being much more conservative in their values. You know, most funds are out in New York and that in the East Coast, and that's a blue state, much like California is, and a completely blue state. So, you know, there's a lot of the population out there. It's a challenge, you know. I mean, and like I said, I mean, it's not about being blue, you know, being blue or red. It's more about, you know, how are we going to get some policies in here.
Right.
What we talk a lot about in California Connection is just liberal lunacy laws. Like Governor Brown just passed a law that it is perfectly fine for somebody being pulled over or in custody on the side of the road, whatever you want to call it. It's allowed to use a video camera in a cop's face. And my husband, being a police officer in one of the most dangerous cities in Northern California, says that's the last thing you need is pulling over a car six full of gang members, and you know they're loaded, and they've all got their iPhones in your face with the lights, you know, popping off. And Governor Brown passed that as a law. Wow. These are liberal lunacy laws. These are just, they're insane, unnecessary, unsafe, not using logic. They're not logical. The laws that we have for water, you know, we dumped millions of gallons of water to save six fish. Now half the state is burning. Yeah. We could have used that water, you know, more wisely. So we really hammer the liberal politicians in the state, and that it's not run logically.
Right.
That's really our opinion on how we try to look at things, because we sometimes we have to really kind of bring it down to simple, not that we want to dummy down our show, but we bring it down to simple, like, look at what they're doing. They let six fish go, and that would have been 300,000 homes would have had enough water. I mean, come on.
So if our votes don't count because of how, you know, it's a democratic state, what can we do to change things here in California?
Vote Republican. Well,
I don't agree. I mean, a lot of people say that, you know, our vote doesn't count. But I mean, we have a large population here in California. I think, you know, if people smarten up and listen and pay attention and read and learn about the issues and learn about things and have a, you know, an educated point of view, then I think,
and listen, know, to California Connection.
listen to our show, right? Shows like ours.
Right.
They're going to get even if it's liberal policies that get passed and so forth, you know, at least, you know, and if they make sense, then it is what it is. You know, we're in a democratic society, majority rules, and it is what it is. And look, I mean, you know, 30 years ago, Maureen and I talked about this before. 30 years ago, California was completely, we were a 180, right? We were completely red state, right?
Yeah.
We had a red governor. We had red lieutenant governor. We had red senators. We had more Republican mayors in all the cities of California. But it's completely done a complete 180 here.
And the most important thing in this election, and Bob and I believe this wholeheartedly, California Connection has been driving this home, is California is very important in this election. California is going to make a big dent in this election because the immigration crisis that Donald Trump has brought to the forefront.
Right.
So California is bleeding dry with immigration. We all know that.
Right.
So the saying is if California goes, so goes the nation. So California is going to be a very big part of this election. And tomorrow, that is my platform to ask every candidate, what are you going to do for California? And I have a lot of legislative issues on immigration. I will be bringing to the forefront about what is going to happen to California. So I think you're going to see a lot of news about California in this election.
Yeah, sounds good.
And Sam, let me ask you, what do you think about the extreme debt that we, a national debt that we have in the United States? Is it too big, or does it need to get bigger?
Well,
$18 trillion.
Is that a trick question? Yeah, but no.
Go ahead, Sam. I'm sorry.
No, just to go back to my question, because you said California is going to play a big part, but help me understand this. I mean, first of all, we're like the last to be counted, you know, because of the time zone and everything, and all that, and plus it's never considered like a an important state because it's always predictable, it's always Democratic. So my question is again to you: if I'm a liberal, I mean, if I'm a conservative and I vote, but the Democrats win and they send Democratic delegates, where's my chance to make a difference there? It's sort of it's almost like...
I know, it's frustrating. Well, I know they called Obama before we even went to vote. So
yeah.
I understand what you're saying. It is very frustrating.
Here's what I think, Sam. What Maureen was trying to say is the influence of California on the rest of the country, not necessarily at the ballot box.
I see.
The way people are thinking and the way people see things here in California is going to make a big difference to other states as
well.
It's
going to wake up.
We have
a lot.
It's
going to wake up the state. It's going to wake up the state. This is waking up California. This immigration issue, whoever takes on and goes forward, Donald Trump brought it up. Whoever runs with it, hopefully it will be him. It is waking up everybody, and it is waking up California, because we are sick and tired of it here in California.
Right.
So I really feel, you know, California's laid back, whatever, we don't care, just as long as we got the good weather and the beaches. That's really the way we think out here. We kind of let everything run its course.
Right.
So,
you know, I think it's important to understand, though, that when we talk about immigration, and especially Donald Trump, we're talking about illegal immigration, you know? I don't think anybody has a problem with legal immigrants. We are an immigrant country and so forth. And, you know, and that's the thing. But we get such a flood of illegals, and they get benefits, and they get all this stuff. And you know what? I don't agree with the fact that, with that claim that, nobody would do the jobs that they're doing, you know. I doubt that very much, you know, because there's people that are hungry for jobs, you know. So I don't think it's true.
Yeah, you know, you immigrated here, Sam, legally, and so you can probably appreciate and probably have the most resentment for the people that are coming over the border illegally, because I know it is a tremendous process to come into this country legally and work, and you've started a business and you've done very well for yourself. So you probably have more resentment than anyone. But I'm telling you, for the liberals of this state that are crying about gun control, there are more guns coming across the border through those cartels that it would make your head spin. My husband was on gang task force. He said, you don't even want to hear about they got to stop. They got to shut that border. Everybody wants gun control. Everybody wants drugs. Everybody wants safe. Everybody wants, they got to shut the border.
That's the core, isn't it?
And that is what Donald Trump is saying. He's got to shut. It's almost like, you know, when you've got a boat that's full of holes, you got to plug the holes, get the boat up, and then you got to work on everything else. Then he's talking. He's getting rid of the gangbangers and the criminals and the ones that have been in and out of jail 15 times that we've been paying for. That's what he's talking about, and that is what's getting people in California to stand up, listen, and say, "Hey, we like this.
Yeah,
we're sick of our neighborhood turning good."
Sam, I was going to say about the immigration thing, and again, I think you're an immigrant. I don't know your whole story, but you own this company, and I suspect it's a great success story. People that I've talked to, friends of mine, people, close friends in my family, who have immigrated here from another country and they have their own business, they say, they kiss the ground. They say, this is the greatest country in the world. It's wonderful that they couldn't see themselves being any other place, with the great opportunities that they have here in the United States. I'm sure you probably feel that same way.
Absolutely.
It's not something that you want to shut out for people and give that. And if they want to share that American dream that you have and that others have, let them have it, but not in a way that is dangerous. for other people, like Maureen was saying, the immigrants who get weapons and so forth, and they just want to...
Illegals. Don't even call them immigrants, illegals. Bob. They're illegals. Don't even give them the immigrant name. They're illegals.
Yeah, and people have problems with calling them illegal aliens, although that's what they are, you know.
Well, I think
right?
the term alien that they have...
Yeah, is that what it is?
Yeah.
We have no problem telling it like it is on California Connection. We have no problem.
Now, let me ask you this. You know, we talk about Donald Trump, and I think that's also one of the reasons there's a lot of interest is because he makes it interesting, you know, because of his personality, his character, and so forth. My question, though, is, you know, I think he can win with his platform without all the stuff that he sometimes says, you know, and to offend people and stuff. I mean, why do you think he finds it important to offend people if it actually blurs his message, I think, if nothing else?
Well, when he offends people, he becomes more popular the next day.
Yeah.
And he's also coming out with the anti-PC, sick of it. This country's getting demolished with PC, and I agree. I grew up in a generation here in the late 60s and 70s where you were told what to do, you did it. You didn't argue. You didn't say, I have rights. I went to school. I was told to sit down, stand up, be quiet. We did it. We ate we had rules and we followed them. Kids don't know that today. Everything has become this PC nonsense. And he's trying to bring that back. And I totally agree with him. And what, Sam, what do you think? Tell me one thing you think he said that was offensive.
Well, look, I don't get offended by anything. I'm just saying that it seems like it gets in his way and people seize upon it. Like
he made that comment about Carly Fiorina, about her face and whether or not he meant something else by it. But.
And Megyn Kelly, too.
But if a man, what if a girl had said that?
What's that?
What if another woman had said that? You know, what if another woman had said
probably,
that?
Probably wouldn't.
Yeah. Right, but that's
I think talking about her face is not talking about a platform or anything relevant to his argument.
Well, I would tell you this is that, do you recall the first time that he really said something insulting? It was about John McCain, and that was that people got. That
no,
was
you're
litmus.
Wrong, Bob.
That,
the first. Yeah.
Well,
no,
well, that was the first one that anybody really.
No, the first offense was about the rapist coming across the border. That was the first thing that got him fired up. Second thing was McCain.
Well, he really offended people with the John McCain thing. And I think that was sort of a litmus test to see. He threw it out there, put his finger in the air to check the wind to see what people would say and how they would react to that. The media was shocked when they said, are you kidding me? This guy's just killed himself with a, and 2 days later, they're saying that, oh my gosh, his popularity is surging here after saying all that
because,
about John McCain.
But Bob,
so at that, so Bob, at that point, it was
Bob,
okay.
Bob, this is like our show, you guys. Bob, you're leaving out the most important thing. McCain had voted against all of these vet VA bills. And he was pointing it out that you don't even support the vets. And it was, and as right. John McCain, as a senator in Arizona, he wasn't even voting in favor of the VA bill. So he had a right to say that.
But that's what ended up coming out in that story.
Okay, well,
sure. But the point is that, you know, his style is so different than other people, and that's the way he comes across.
And do you think that will help him, or do you think it might get in his way?
No, I mean, he's leading in double digits everywhere. He's 3 points behind Hillary. Of course it's helping him.
Right.
People
but
are sick and tired of it.
But it is helping him with the Republicans. I mean, but Democrats, liberals seem to be, like, really against him in a big way. I think they feel threatened, which is a good thing.
Tomorrow
you know?
is going to be a terrific indication because CNN, as we all know, is a liberal network.
Right.
And we will see what the ratings are.
Right.
Because
they haven't been too kind to him leading up to this debate either, have they?
No, not at all. Not
CNN?
At all.
You mean CNN,
no,
Bob?
Uh-huh. Yeah, CNN.
Well,
they haven't been too kind to him leading up to the debate.
Yeah,
if the ratings are double, we will know that just as many liberals turned in Democrats turned in as Republicans. So that's what's going to be interesting is to see the ratings on Thursday morning.
That's
to
true.
See, because they're calling for a bigger rating than Fox, because if the normal base for CNN tunes in, which they really think they will, it's going to be huge.
Sounds
and then
good.
They're going to see if he's going to start turning heads with the Democrats.
Yeah. You know,
so
this,
we may very well see a softer, different side of him tomorrow night. He may be trying to tap into the Democratic side, right. And he's smart if he does.
Right. No, absolutely. You know, guys, there's so much to talk about, and it's fascinating. I love talking to you guys. The show's almost over, though, so maybe we'll invite you after the debate to come on again.
And give us your opinion.
Yeah. And
break it down for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you sort of can analyze what happened for us, you know.
We have a lot of, in fact, Friday's show is, we have some of Tim McGraw's backup singers and front opening acts on, and then we will close our show with some of the debate, and then the following Friday will be all about the debate. So we'd love to come on and tell you what we experienced, and we'll be sending pictures, and we hope you put them up on LA Talk Radio.
Of course.
We'll be sending out blips and tweets of what we are doing, who we're seeing, and who we get our pictures with, and, you know, it's going to be a great day.
Sounds great. If anybody wants to follow Bob and Maureen, the show is California Connection every Friday at 4 o'clock right here on LA Talk Radio. You can find out everything about them. I'm excited for you guys for being there. I'm surprised I didn't even think about it, about doing something about that. But that would be exciting, you know. So you guys
the
will
once
be
once in a lifetime, opportunity, right, Bob?
Right.
So, well, Sam, Maureen and I we already have our sights set on even bigger, bigger events. We want to be in Cleveland in next summer. You know what's going on there, right?
Yeah. Tell us. Oh, the Democratic?
That's the Republican National Convention.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So we have our sights set on Cleveland in the summer. So we'll keep the LA Talk Radio banner with us and bring it along to the land of LeBron.
Sounds good. Great, guys.
We really thank you, Sam, for taking the time and having us on. It's been fun to be on the other side of the microphone, and we really thank you.
Yeah, of course, and thank you for helping make the show interesting in that. So everybody, check it out
with our banter,
right? And do tweet and Facebook all your experience and everything. We'll sort of like experience it vicariously through you. So
absolutely, and thank you again.
Okay, thank you guys.
Bye.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Talk to you soon. Right. Bye-bye. Yeah, there's so much to talk about, you know, and that's the thing is that usually in political debates, you do want to have both sides and stuff, you know. I mean, admittedly, now we're all pretty much conservatives here on this call. But I'm not including you because I know you're sort of like you're conservative, but not like a staunch conservative, right? Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm conservative or liberal.
So somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't define myself. Maybe this year will be the year that I decide what party I'm more toward, but.
Right. Do you find that one or the other is aligned more with your way of thinking?
No, that's why I'm somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
But I'll let you know when I do decide.
All right.
So what time are the debates on tomorrow?
I don't know, Jen. Probably like it would be early here because, you know, they want to catch prime time on the East Coast, I think.
Right. I'm looking it up and I don't see it, but I'm sure it's probably somewhere very obvious.
We'll know tomorrow.
I think that's interesting, though, that they have a show about that and then they are very vocal about where they stand.
Yeah.
It's different than, I guess, news where, like, the anchors can't say who they'd vote for. They have to just report the news. They don't give their own personal opinions.
Right.
But because we have talk radio.
Right.
And people have their own shows. You can do whatever you want.
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing, you know, is that, you know, when you look at Ben Carson and Donald Trump and Carly Fiorina, who are outsiders and not politicians, people find an appeal in them, you know. And I wanted to bring up that Ben Carson, I mean, he's made a huge jump, you know. He went from, 6% to 23%. During the period of since the last poll last month, so in a month from 6 to 23%,
that is a big jump. So are you? I mean, would do you feel comfortable saying who you're leaning toward, or do you not want to talk about that?
No. I think I've made it pretty clear. You know, I mean, I lean toward Donald Trump big time, because I've done some reading on him and everything, and I like his approach. But I got to tell you, you know, and I think this should be obvious to everyone, that everyone votes according to their self-interest, you know. So, for example, people that feel they're hurt better by the Democrats, like minorities or things like this, they're probably going to lean Democrat, you know. So it's up in the air. I don't know. You know, the thing is that I've changed over the years, and many people have. I know people that have jumped from one party to the other in like a New York second, you know. So go figure. You know, people change. And as they learn more about things, I think their priorities change, their values change. And then you ask yourself, okay, who's better for me, you know? And I feel that the liberal way, the democratic way of taxing the rich and redistributing the wealth to the less, to people that have less. I'm not even saying to the poor, because it's not for poor people. There's all those government programs and everything that I think are excessive. So things like that, you know, I just don't believe in somebody, because, I mean, it's sort of like the liberals made it like a sin or something to be ashamed of to make money. And this is what America is about, you know, and people that make money, they drive the economy, and people have to see that, you know, they generate jobs. So what would you rather have? Would you rather give a tax break to a corporation who's going to create new jobs, or to raise the minimum wage where employers are going to have to let people go? You see, people don't look at it that way.
Right.
You know, and that's what I'm saying. You got to look at both sides. I respect people on both sides. You know, like I said, people look for their self-interest, and you know, and they look for whoever's going to represent them. So that's why I think in politics, you can never change anybody's mind. You know, and that's why many of the arguments are moot points, because nobody's going to change anybody's mind. So it's just interesting to listen, I guess, to political debates and stuff. But people usually, I think, are pretty sturdy in what they think and who they're going to vote for, you know.
Well, hopefully they'd be open-minded, because just because you have, you know, voted a certain way in the past doesn't mean that tomorrow is a different, like that it's going to be the same thing.
Right, exactly.
And you know, a platform is a platform, but there are different issues that occur all the time. So.
Right, yeah. I mean, look, I voted for Clinton twice. I did not vote for Bush because I didn't like him. You know, because at that point yet, I wasn't sure if I need to be on either side. I mean, it just, I went based on the person.
Yeah.
And to me, Clinton was a great president. Reagan was one too, in my book anyway. And they were from different parties. So there you go. You know, I think people that just always vote along party lines aren't open-minded. You know, they don't want to hear what the other side has to
right.
say. So
hopefully this year people are more open-minded. I mean, they sound like it if they're still... If Trump is still leading, and with all the things that he said that are polarizing or offensive to some people, that they're still interested in him, I think that sounds like, well, it sounds like two things. They're either open to what he has to say, more people are, or they're just voting alongside who they think is going to win the party.
Yeah.
Because they're going to vote Republican regardless.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
Well, let's hope that it's, you know, the first option, which is that they're more open to what he has to say.
Right. Yeah, and I think he's going to mellow out as time goes by, you know. I mean,
the thing is, if he became president of the United States, there's so many people in that office with him that he has media training. He has, you know, representatives that, you know, write his speeches and coach him through what he needs to do and prep him for everything. So I think maybe he will become more refined as time goes on.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's going to... You know, just like anybody else, I think he's sort of like going to fit into the job, whatever it takes, you know. So we'll see. At any rate, whatever people believe and however they're going to vote, you have to admit it's going to be a very interesting election. The last thing I wanted to bring up is, are you aware of the Vanessa Williams scandal that was like in 1983. I mean, obviously you were very young. Well, you hadn't been born yet?
No.
It was 82?
I was born in 84, but 84. What happened?
Okay. She won Miss America in 1983. And pictures of her surfaced, nude pictures. They actually put them, publicized them on in Penthouse, or was it Hustler? I don't know, one of those. I think it was Penthouse. And there were like pictures in good taste. It wasn't porn, you know. Uh-huh. It was sort of like erotica type thing. But she was totally nude. And people, so she was dethroned and shamed and everything. And now they decided to apologize to her publicly about that, which is very interesting, you know, because the thing is that you have to wonder, you know, I mean, if, I mean, why is it that at that time it was offensive and not now? You know, why is it, and I'm not even talking about offensive, but is it appropriate for Miss America to have nude pictures of her out there?
Well, who decides what's appropriate?
Who decides? Good idea. I mean, good question. I mean, I guess the viewers?
I don't think they're the ones saying forgive Vanessa. I think it's right.
It's the organization,
right? And which has right. And that is my point through and through, is that as we evolve, everything needs to evolve. So because, you know, what someone did back then might have been, you know, risque or taboo or whatever it was. Now people are always naked.
Yeah.
Everyone's naked all the time. People are offensive all the time. Like, I mean, if Donald Trump is almost our president, that woman can be forgiven for her naked photos. I'm sorry. Right.
No, that's true. That's true.
So I think that's why they're probably doing it. I'm glad they're doing it. People need to get over things.
Yeah. No, I mean, I remember at the time I was sort of, I really felt bad for her because she did earn being Miss America, you know, and I don't think those photos made her any less appropriate for it.
Did she say why she did the photos back in the day?
Yes, that she was young and whatever, trying to make some extra money. I don't remember.
Great. Well, that's the American dream.
Right.
Guess what? Everybody on Instagram is naked. Guess what? Kim Kardashian did a sex tape, and now she couldn't be more royalty in L.A.
Right.
Or in the United States of America. Like, the Kardashian family sells what exactly?
Right.
And they're idolized. So, yeah.
And perhaps, I think in a way, all that fame and publicity made her more. I mean, how many Miss Americas do you know went on to be as big as Vanessa Williams?
Right.
Yeah, so that probably helped her, you know.
I mean, not to, like, forget that she's got so much talent.
Yeah. I just realized, Jen, we went over time. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Bye.
See you all tomorrow. Yeah. Bye.
Here on LA Talk Radio.